First of all, any update on Mr. Vasquez?
Just from the way he was talking yesterday, it sounded like he was passing himself fit. So I don't know. We'll see. But I suspect that, if there's any sort of lingering issue, that they won't sort of rush him back. You know, you got to keep in mind, too, that after, assuming they get past New York on Sunday, then there's a two-week break, right?
Mm-hmm.
The next round doesn't start until, I think, November 21st. So that's, a lot of time for, a player to recuperate. So, I would think that unless he's 100% ready to go, that, they're going to rest him. They won't risk it, and they'll just, take that extra time to let him recuperate and get back to 100% fitness.
Now, of course, Toronto FC, a draw or even a 1-0 loss would be enough to see them get through in the aggregate series. You had an interesting read about the Toronto FC, firmly embrace the concept of winning ugly in the playoffs. And mm-hmm. I think in a lot of ways, when you have the type of season they had last year, and your whole goal is to win and to get back, first of all, to get back to the MLS Cup, but then to win the MLS Cup, it's almost as if you have a little bit of freedom to win ugly, don't you? nobody's going to sit here. I don't think TFC fans will be braying or booing because at an ugly performance. If the team wins and advances to the MLS Cup and wins it, no one's going to look back and go, oh, remember that game a month ago where they were just awful and won and it was dross and it was horrible. I don't think people are going to think that way.
No, of course not. And especially when you consider the way they lost the MLS Cup. Mm-hmm. It was a pretty ugly performance by Seattle, who just kind of bunkered and sat back and played for the shootout draw and didn't register a single shot on net. So I don't think anyone is going to hold any sort of ugly performances against them. And it's interesting. Michael Bradley, after the game on Monday, talking to him in New York, he was saying, look, you've got to do this. You've got to embrace sort of this concept of winning ugly sometimes, and because that's the way it goes sometimes in the playoffs, and you can't sort of dictate how you play all the time. Sometimes it's you have to change your style forced upon what your opponent does, and New York is a very physical, high pressing team, and so they tend to take opponents out of their comfort zone, and I think to a certain extent that's what happened Monday, and Toronto had to adapt, and they got the result. So, as I said, sometimes you got to do what you got to do, and that's what Toronto did on Red Bull Arena.
Of all the things we saw out of that match in the first match of this two match, the aggregate, and we talked to Craig Forrest about this a little bit on Monday. But I thought one of the things that really didn't surprise me, but one of the things I thought really stood out, in addition to obviously Seba's great goal, and I just thought Alex Bono played really well and had a real good command of the situation in the box, and took, he had a couple of crosses he took really well, and I know you've written about him a lot, and Curtis has written about him a lot, and a lot of people have talked about him, but I continue to kind of be impressed at the progress this guy has made. It's been gradual, but it's also been pretty pronounced, hasn't it?
Absolutely, it has. And I agree. I thought he was outstanding on Monday. He showed real sort of presence and just calmness. And you got to keep in mind, it was his first playoff game. And, the development has been pretty startling when you think about where he was just over a year ago. He only made his MLS debut in June, coming in for Clint Irwin last June, and then, got a stretch of games, and then as soon as Clint came back healthy, was reduced, to a bench warmer and sat out. He was a spectator for the entire playoff run. But he's shown, he went into the offseason and won, the starting job over Clint Irwin, which is no small feat considering Clint is an MLS veteran. And he's just shown a lot of presence and has a lot of confidence this year. And again, Michael Bradley talked about it, earlier last week, how his command of the box and just the confidence that he has, he's really sort of grown in those aspects to the point where, that Michael Bradley has just, great confidence in him, and they don't even worry about, at the back, because they know who Alex is going to come up for, is going to be up for it. So I think it's been, a great sort of developmental process for him. He's really shown a lot of maturity. he's really come into his own. And, you know, for such a young goal kicker, 23 or 24, he's playing with a great deal of poise and maturity.
John, beyond the possible injury force changes, whether it's Drouin or Victor Vasquez, do you see Greg Vanney doing anything different in this match at all? Or do you see him essentially going with, again, you know, if he has to go with Nick Hagelin, Jonathan Osorio to fill in to start because of injuries, and those would be changes enough, I guess. But do you see this team doing anything different at all? Or do you think Greg will just, you know, go the way he's gone and sort of just ride this out?
I think the only other change he might make is bring in Nick Hassler for Steven Betashore at right wing back. I think starting Betashore in New York kind of made sense because it was a road game. And I think Betashore just offers a more sturdy defensive presence on that right side, where Hassler is more of an attacking, not that Betashore is an attacking player, but I think Nick and Hassler does a better job of getting forward and, you know, playing crosses on the box. And I think at home, you know, Greg tends to be a little bit more aggressive on the attacking front. So that's conceivably the only other change that I could see them make. And from a tactical perspective, you know, I don't think he's going to change much. I think he's going to, you know, play the way they want to play. New York, I suspect, will come out high pressing more in this game as opposed to the last game. Last game, they kind of controlled things a little bit more and, you know, had the bulk of the possession. I suspect, you know, Toronto is going to try to dictate the pace of the game, and New York will have to revert to their high pressing game and try to force turnovers. But really, I think, you know, Toronto will do what they do and just try to play through the pressure and hold on to the ball and, you know, get it out wide. And as I said, play through that pressure and try to get to the other side of New York's press.
Are Michael Bradley and Jozy Altidore going to have to, are they going to get the same treatment they got in New York from this point on, you know? And I saw what you said about it on Twitter and other, and, you know, and other people responded as well. I mean, look, the U.S. team has some issues. I wasn't entirely certain Jozy Altidore was actually one of those issues, right, to be honest. But is this something they're just going to have to put up with? And, you know, for a guy like Bradley, who's been such a good servant for that program, and whose family has been such a good servant for that program, that's really got to sting.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, you know, I asked Michael about it on Monday, and of course he downplayed it. But I don't doubt for a second that it stings. I mean, as you said, these guys have both been loyal servants, and I don't necessarily think either one of them was the problem for the U.S. national team. But, you know, fans are, you know, they're going to do what they're going to do. Bradley, more than anyone, I think is identified as the face of that sort of team. And, you know, in that regard, I guess, you know, the fans hold him accountable and most responsible for the failure. So he's, you know, bearing the majority of the brunt of that. Jozy, too, to a certain extent. But to answer your question, yeah, I do think they are going to have to put up with this for another little bit. You know, the U.S. not qualifying, you know, that stings. And I don't think the U.S. fans are going to let them forget it anytime soon. You know, it might be another game, you know, whether it's Columbus or New York. But, you know, hopefully by next year, all will be forgiven and they'll move on. The fans will have moved on. But I think for the time being, they're going to have to deal with, you know, this abuse that they're getting, that they've received in the last few weeks.
Is it something that, you know these guys pretty well. Is it something that they will use as motivation? Or is it something that, you know, they're kind of, they've been around for a while now. They're mature guys. Is it something that you think is just, they'll just kind of deal with it and it won't necessarily be motivation or aggravation, if you want to put it that way?
Yeah, I think they'll just kind of deal with it. I mean, I don't think, Michael Bradley, I mean, I'm sure it bothers them to some extent, but I don't think they're going to obsess about it to the point where, oh, man, I really want to stick it to these people. Maybe Jozy a little bit. I mean, we kind of saw it in, you know, the last game of the season in Atlanta, where he was getting booed pretty vociferously, and then he scored that goal, and he kind of cupped his ear, you know, holding up his... So maybe he takes it a little bit more personally and will use it a little bit more motivation. But at the end of the day, I don't think they're obsessing it to the point where, I'm going to really use this as motivation. I think it's, they're both mature guys. They've both been around. They've both played in very hostile situations in Europe before. So I think they're just dealing with it in their own kind of, you know, private way.
Out on the West Coast, Vancouver, the Whitecaps losing out in their series. Is that a surprise at all to you, the way they went out? And how do you think they'll, you know, Carl Robinson and his people will view this year?
I'm not surprised at the way they went out. I mean, Seattle's just a better team, the MLS Cup champions. You know, a little bit disappointing that he was a little too, that Carl was a little too conservative over the two legs. You know, they only registered a shot until I think the 64th minute yesterday, and they didn't go for it. I think they played for that 0-0 draw in Vancouver in the first leg, thinking that, you know, that'll serve them up well in the second leg in Seattle. And I guess it almost worked. But then, you know, they went down. And, you know, even when they went down, it seemed like they weren't going for it for whatever reason. He made some very interesting, you know, substitutions, none of them really attacking. So I think they will be disappointed with, the way they played over the two legs. But overall, I think it was a pretty successful season. They came within a hair of, you know, winning the Western Conference. It was a trying season because they had injuries. They lost Matthias Laba, the former TFC midfielder, you know, midway through the season. But, you know, overall, I think it was a pretty successful season with them. He really kind of pulled that team together. In a very definitive way. And they've got some good pieces going forward. I think, you know, they just need a little bit more of an attacking threat up front. They don't have, a Sebastian Giovinco or Jozy Altidore or someone who can score, you know, 15 to 20 goals for them. So I don't think they're that far away. They just need a little bit of tweaking.